Okay, good morning. We are... Whew! We are ready to go, I think. I hope. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. Psalm 92 is what we have on tap this morning. By the way, did you notice our new logo? This is actually custom designed for us. I was borrowing someone else's logo in the past, but now we have one that's been custom designed for us. Psalms in the morning. So it is good to be with you on this Monday morning, September 14th. And this week we're looking ahead to Psalms 92, 93, and 94. We're going to start with Psalm 92 this morning. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day that you've given to us. Thank you for blessing us with another day of life, health, strength, fellowship, your word, your son, this time together. We're so blessed, Father. It's so easy for us to complain and stress, but really we are so, so very blessed. And we are just thankful that we can know you and be known by you and dwell in your presence by faith. We thank you, Father. Please speak to us through Psalm 92 this morning. Please write it on our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Psalm 92. Psalm 92 is a psalm, and it is a song for the Sabbath. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands I sing for joy. How great are your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep. The stupid man cannot know, the fool cannot understand this, that though the wicked sprout like grass and all evildoers flourish, they are doomed to destruction forever. But you, O Lord, are on high forever. For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish, all evildoers shall be scattered. But you have exalted my horn like that of the wild ox. You have poured over me fresh oil. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the doom of my evil assailants. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Amen and amen. All right, so Psalm 92. We don't know for sure who wrote this, although we have reason to believe that it was written by a king, and quite possibly could be King David, but we just don't know. We know the titles of the Psalms are probably original to the Psalm itself. If they were added later, they were added very early. They might have been added by Ezra the scribe when he compiled the Psalms. We don't know that for sure. But we don't have a named author for this Psalm. But this is a wonderful Psalm. It's a wonderful Psalm of praise. I told you that when we got out of Book 3, which Psalm 89 was the last part of Book 3, and we got into Book 4, which Psalm 90 was the beginning of, that we would be moving from a book that's primarily lament-oriented to a book that's primarily worship-oriented. And so that's what we have here in Psalm 92 is a good example of that. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. This is a song for the Sabbath, so it really is for the gathered worship of the people of God on the Sabbath day. And when we gather together to worship God on the Sabbath day, it is good to give thanks. It's good to give thanks to God every day. But when we gather together, we are reminded of how good he is, of how faithful he is, of how loving he is, and we give thanks to him, and we sing praises to him. And that is right. That is good. It's a good thing for us to do. I love the worship of God. The gathered worship of God's people is such an encouragement and a blessing to me. And I don't just say that because I'm a pastor and it's my job to encourage people to go to church. I'm just talking as a needy sinner who needs the Lord and who is so encouraged by the gathered worship of God's people. So often I come to church on a Sunday morning and I've got my sermon notes and I wrote my sermon out and I read over it and I know what the text says and I know the gist of what I'm going to preach, but I'm just not feeling it. You know, it's been a hard, you know, week past. Even though we're at the beginning of a new week, all the baggage from the previous week is still weighing on my mind, or I might feel discouraged, or I might feel inadequate, or sometimes, honestly, lately with this COVID shutdown and worshiping outdoors, I'm looking around to see, are we going to have very many people? Because we've had some very small worship services attendance-wise. Not that that should matter to how I feel, but I'm a human being, and that matters to how I feel, right? And so I enter into the worship of God with the people of God to sing praises to the name of God, to declare God's steadfast love, his chesed. There it is again, right? That wonderful word that's throughout the Psalms. His faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord. Behold our God is what we opened with yesterday morning. And just to declare the praises of God, my heart begins to sing. My heart begins to resonate with the grace of God for the glory of God. It is good. It is good. And so that's why it should be our first priority at the beginning of each new week to gather together to worship God, not only because God commands it, but because it's so good for us to do so. We do this musically. There are those who would say that verse 2 here, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, seeing that this is a song for the Sabbath, that shows that we should have morning and evening worship. I am a fan of morning and evening worship when we can do it on the Lord's Day. As a church, we're not really able to do that because we don't have our own building and it's difficult logistically, but ideally, I think that's the right way to do it, morning and evening worship on the Lord's Day. And again, why is it so good? He states first that it is so good to give thanks to God or to sing praises to his name. But why is it so good? It is because, or for you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. And at the works of your hands, I sing for joy. It's good for us to give thanks to God because God's made us glad by his work. By his work. And then he meditates on the works of God. How great are your works, O Lord. Your thoughts are very deep. What God has done to save his people, the more I study it, the more I think about it, the deeper I consider it, it is astounding. It is great. It is very deep. The idea that way back at the beginning in the garden with the fall, God curses the serpent and says, you know, you'll crawl on your belly, you'll eat dust, right? But then he also says, I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and you will crush his heel, and he will crush your head. Genesis 3:15, God's giving that first picture of the gospel, the crushing of the head of the serpent, even as the heel of the seed of the woman is crushed by that serpent. That's the cross. That's what happened at the cross, and we're given the picture thousands of years before it happens. The ark, Noah's ark of refuge, is a great picture of how when God's judgment comes for sin, we hide ourselves by faith in the ark of refuge. What a great picture of Christ. The sacrificial system that God gave through Moses, the Passover lamb, the Day of Atonement, the sprinkling of the mercy seat with the blood, the pronouncement of God's blessing, all these things are pointing us to Christ. They're driving us onto Christ. And how could any human being put together this complicated story with all these different pieces and parts and promises and foreshadowings and types and get them all to come together in one person, one man, one Lord? No one can do that. Only God can do that. Only God has such power and such wisdom and such knowledge that he can foretell and foreshow and promise and picture for generation upon generation and then bring it all to fulfillment in the perfect Passover lamb, our sacrifice, our great high priest, our prophet, our king, our redeemer, our mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I love verse 10. It makes me chuckle. Or verse 6. Verse 10, we're not there yet. Verse 6, the stupid man cannot know. The Bible's very straight, right? Hey, you're trying to figure things out. You're trying to figure out God on your own. You're trying to just say, I got this. No, you're stupid. That's what the Bible says. You try to figure things out on your own. You try to just do it. No, you can't. The fool can't understand this. And specifically, he's talking now about the judgment of God. What is it the fool cannot understand? That though the wicked sprout like grass and all evildoers flourish, they are doomed to destruction forever. No matter how great and powerful and mighty the wicked may become, Alexander the Great conquered the entire known world by the age of 30. He was dead before the age of 35. Right? So the wicked just flourish. Hitler rolled over Europe, looked to be dominating the whole world, and within 5 years, it was all over. Right? Within 5 years, it was all over. Because God judges, God destroys, God brings down. The enemies of God scatter and perish. Verses 10 and 11 is what makes us think that this is maybe written by a king, because he says, you have exalted my horn like that of the wild ox. You have poured over me fresh oil. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the doom of my evil assailants. So the horn is a symbol of power and authority. And the horn in the Old Testament is specifically associated with kingship. And you've poured over me fresh oil. That's the anointing oil. So to be anointed, you'd be anointed to the office of priest or prophet or king. But of those anointed offices, the one that's really associated with a horn and with victory over enemies is a king. So this is probably written by a king, could be written by David, or could be written by one of the godly kings of Israel, Hezekiah, Josiah. We just don't know for sure. But the idea is that God, the idea here really should point us to Christ. Christ is the one who has been exalted as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Christ is the one who has been anointed. He is the anointed one, the Messiah, and he is the one who has victory over all of his enemies, and he is the one who has conquered sin and death and hell and the devil forever for all of his people. So now, because of the victory of our King, what can we anticipate? Because of the victory of our King, what can we receive as a blessing? Flourishing life. Even to old age. Flourishing life. I love this picture of growing old in the Lord. Verses 14 and 15. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green to declare that the Lord is upright. Look, the older I get, I'm helping out with cross country this year again. So I'm one of the coaches. So I'm doing some more running. And my knees are starting to, I'm 46 years old. I'm not a small person. And my knees are just starting to feel it a little bit. And I'm thinking, yeah, I'm not, I can see that, you know, in the decades to come, I may not feel like I'm ever full of sap and green. And some of you are older than I am, and you're at that point where you just think, I don't know about feeling that way. But listen what the purpose is here. They are ever full of sap and green to declare that the Lord is upright. You're never too old to declare that the Lord is upright. Even if your body is, even if your outer man is wasting away, as Paul puts it, your inner man is renewed day by day. And so we can declare that God is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. It is good to praise God. It is good to remember his goodness to us. And because of the victory of our King, we have this promise. Even when this life is over, we will be younger and healthier and stronger, and even ever more full of sap and green to declare that the Lord is upright. Forever and ever we will declare the praises of our God. Let's pray together. Father, we need this word on this Monday morning. As we turn to you, we need this word that reminds us of your steadfast love, of your faithfulness, that you are our rock, steadfast and reliable, and that it is good to give thanks to you, and that we need to be ever full of sap and green to declare your praises. we were able to gather together yesterday to do that on the Sabbath day to declare your praises. But today is also a day you've given us to give thanks to you, to rejoice in the victory of our anointed King and Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to declare your praises to the world. So, Father, give us the grace to do that. Give us the grace to give you thanks, to rejoice in our King and his victory, and to ever declare your praises to a world that needs to know you. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Tomorrow we will be back together again for Psalm 93. Not tomorrow, Wednesday morning. Wednesday morning we'll be back together again for Psalm 93. Looking forward to that. May the Lord bless you.